War Watch here on KPFA.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party,
man. Yeah,
hey, brother,
dig it.
Stop. Right on.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
And you're in tune to KPFA, and this is another edition of War Watch. My name is Chuy Varela, and today we're going to be talking to a few folks. We're going to be speaking coming up next with Larry Pinkney, who is an international affairs consultant and also teaches at the University of Minnesota. And Larry has also been involved with all kinds of struggles on the streets, and former Black Panther from Southern California, as well as having been interviewed on the McNeil-Lehrer NewsHour for his efforts as a field director of the Minnesota Alliance for Progressive Action, MAPA. And we have another MAPA here, too.
Yeah.
How you doing, Larry?
All right, good brother. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good,
good.
And, you know, it seems that right now, as we're all thinking about finding ways to bring an end to the Persian Gulf conflict, that a lot of folks are coming together, you know. And one of the things is that you've definitely been involved on the grassroots and also at the university levels, all kinds of different levels of trying to bring understandings about certain situations happening in the communities of people of color. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Larry?
Well, basically, good bro. First of all, I want to thank you very, very much for having me here. It's a real pleasure.
As you mentioned, I am a former section leader in Southern California Black Panthers. Specifically, I was the former Western Regional Minister of Interior for the Black Independence-oriented national organization known as the Republic of New Africa. As it turned out, I am also the only so-called United States citizen, so-called American, to receive a United Nations Human Rights Committee ruling saying that my civil, human, and political rights have been violated on this continent. And you mentioned that, yes, I did appear on MacNeil Lara. I also worked with Jobs with Peace. I was a national field organizer for the Boston-based national organization known as Jobs with Peace, and we were promoting the Bill Holmes Not Balms campaign, which seems to be very relevant these days. And as you also mentioned, I did teach university for the State University System of Minnesota, taught world politics, American radicalism, perspectives on Southern Africa, etc.
Great. Well, given the fact of the things that have been transpiring, we've been seeing a lot of people coming together, you know, to help this effort to bring the troops home as a result of the Persian Gulf conflict. And how have you seen, like, let's say, this coalition building and all these groups coming together, particularly some of the mainstream groups coming together with coalitions of people of color?
Well, I have a couple of comments on that, and if I may be very candid. First of all, I think that it's very positive that people are becoming activated. Some of us have stayed activated for many years, and we're seeing a lot more come in, and this is very good. But with respect to people of color, I think that, first of all, people of color, be we African-American, Latino, the indigenous native peoples, Asian, whatever, the fact is that people of color fully understand what war is about, because we've been undergoing a war ever since we've been on the North American continent. And so I'm pleased that there are some coalitions happening. There's some unification going on. But there's a heck of a lot more that has to be done. And I also want to see more people of color in leadership roles, not just involved, but in leadership roles, because people of color are on the front lines, not only in Saudi Arabia and soon to be in Kuwait and perhaps Iraq, but we are on the front lines over here. And it's high time that that recognition be given to people of color, because we have survived, whether, as I said, it's in the Latino community or African-American community or Native Indian community, etc. We are struggling, and I'm pleased to see coalitions happening. I want to see real coalitions, and as Joe Hill would say, don't mourn, organize, and that's what it's all about.
But what about some of these inclusions? Do you think that aspects of tokenism are taking place?
To be blunt, yes, I do. I think that that is occurring. However, I think one of the ways of dealing with that, and dealing with it in a very real sense, is understanding first and foremost that, frankly, a lot of even the terms that are used by the quote-unquote progressive movement are terms that are really disempowering terms. And may I give you an example of what I mean, brother? For example, the term minority. The term minority really is a very inaccurate, and it's very demeaning, particularly as it's used in this country. You know, the indigenous native people certainly did not refer to the Europeans as quote-unquote minorities, even though they were in the numerical minority. And the term minority as it's used in this country really, brother, is a negative, disempowering power term. It's demeaning. Not to mention that our struggle is not just here in the United States. Just ask anybody from Kuwait. Just ask any South African. Just ask anybody in the conflict that's going on now in Iraq or with respect to Iraq, etc. All over the world, our conflict is an international one, and in the international sense, people of color are the overwhelming majority. So we have to be careful, really, about some of these terms we use, you know.
But, you know, it seems that we also have to come to a certain understanding, because we're seeing the oppression and the form of shift a little bit, in the sense that we're seeing Arab Americans now becoming the target of, you know, investigations by the FBI, you know, creating a scenario of racism against those folks.
That's true, Julie. That's true. The fact of the matter is that Arab Americans, I would have to put it this way, that our sisters and brothers who are Arabs are really undergoing a continuation, I go back to my original point, of a war that's been going on in this country ever since people of color have come in contact, unfortunately, in a negative fashion with Europeans. So what I'm really saying is this. I'm saying that there is a need to understand that the attacks, etc., directed against our Arab sisters and brothers are also directed against Latinos, African Americans, Native Indian people, and that this didn't just start with the war against Iraq. It's been going on and, in fact, intensified, intensifying a very, very long time, and I think that as progressive people and people of goodwill, we have to deal with that reality and link that reality with why we find ourselves in the so-called Persian Gulf.
And from your opinion, what is that reality of why we find ourselves in that Gulf?
I think we find ourselves in that unfortunate reality because this country has proven itself time and time and time again to be a country that's based upon conquering, militarism, subjugation, whether it's colonialism, neocolonialism, no matter what forms we may choose to look at it from or what perspective we may look at it from. The fact of the matter is that this system is a system that is dedicated to the subjugation of people, not to the betterment of people. And we really have to understand this. We really have to see how this system is built, how it operates, and this way I think we can perhaps, and I say perhaps, I'm very hopeful that we can change it, but I use that word we. It's got to be a collective effort, not an individual one.
Now, at this point, we've been seeing the various struggles that partisan politics has been taking place, and for a long time, many of us put hope in the possibilities that the Democratic Party could open the doors to somebody like Jesse Jackson, the Rainbow Coalition, and that perhaps through that type of mobilization, we could bring about change. And given the results of the last election, we saw that that was still a long ways away. But how do you see a strategy for bringing about some sort of parity?
Well, for one thing, I think we have to begin at home. And when I say at home, I don't just mean the United States. I'm talking about at home in our communities. I'm talking about people of color building alliances, and I mean very strong and active alliances, with each other. First and foremost, with each other. And even beyond that, I think it's imperative that, for example, the African community takes a very strong lead within African communities, progressive people, that is to say, the same in the Latino community, the same in other communities of color. So I think we have to begin at the beginning, and that is with each other. Then, with a very strong understanding and a very strong base from which to operate, we can expand. And this is going to have to happen very fast. Very fast.
But you know, Larry, and I'd like to remind folks that we're speaking with Larry Pinkney, who is an international affairs consultant and has also been involved, as he was saying earlier, with a lot of grassroots efforts as well as having taught at the University of Minnesota. But, you know, one of the people that are really being affected, the generation that really is taking the toll and who is really serving over there, is this younger generation who, given the fact of their reality when they were born, aren't familiar with the struggles that took place, you know, in the 60s and 70s against the Vietnam War, the struggles on the streets to try to bring some equality to the communities of color. What would you say to folks in that generation who perhaps are undergoing, you know, a transition of learning about this and at a very blatant cost of this Persian Gulf conflict?
I would say be all you can be an organizer. In other words, what I'm saying, quite frankly, is that, of course, younger brothers and sisters may not be cognizant of the many of the forerunners in the struggle. However, they are cognizant of the fact of what they are dealing with today, here and now. That's how I began. That's how many thousands of other people began. We began because we realized that, hey, something's wrong here. Something, I'm being told one thing, but when I go home, when I go to my community, when I go to my school, this is not at all as I saw it on Leave It to Beaver or whatever. The point is that we began where we were, and I think that's very important. I think it's positive that young people are beginning at where they are. They'll learn the history. They'll learn as they go along, and that's also our responsibility. When I say our now, I'm referring to the responsibility of those of us who've been in this struggle a period of time. Well, it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we imbue those beautiful, powerful, strong, angry, legitimately angry, and frightened young brothers and sisters with this history.
you know, given the situation and the different people that are coming out and protesting, and there's different forms that the protest is taking. You know, right now, there's people that are condemning, you know, some of the protesters, saying, hey, you know, we're over there now. We just want to get the troops back, you know, as soon as possible, and we don't care how it's done. We just want our boys back, and we want to win. So there is a certain mentality that is just looking at it now, sort of with like the football, sports type of mind frame, that, you know, we have to win to bring the boys back home. I mean, do you think that this is somewhat going against the grain of what was happening on the streets as far as protesting, or?
Well, I think that there is a certain, and I'll use your word, mentality that exists in this country. But it doesn't just exist in and of its own accord. It exists because it's been developed and it's perpetuated. For example, the whole thing about how Americans, quote-unquote, view war. War is viewed more as a video game. You know, it's antiseptic. It's your side, my side conflict. But when reality, brothers and sisters, the blood's on the street. The brothers and sisters, the homeboys and girls on the street, they know what combat about. They know it's a horrible thing. They know that. And they don't have to jump into some university or some school to be taught that, because they live it every day. So I think, again, I go back to my point of people of color taking leadership positions. There's much that we have to offer. I also think, Brother Chuy, that we have to understand that people of color are neither blind nor stupid. Neither blind nor stupid. We find it very, very... For example, it's curious, indeed, that hundreds of thousands of folks find it important to turn out in national demonstrations, and it is important, very important, demonstrations against external U.S. wars. But we need to also be doing the same thing with respect to these internal wars against racism, poverty, homelessness, unemployment, lack of education, and the list just goes on and on.
Because everything seems to be getting pushed back as a result of this.
That's absolutely correct, and I really think that that's what part of Mr. Bush's game plan is. I mean, the fact of the matter is that Bush is no idiot. Despite what we may think of his politics or his policies, the man is not an idiot. And you can rest assured, as Noam Chomsky and quite a few of other folks have pointed out, that this was well planned, both mm-hmm. internally and externally.
But, you know, there's also the fact that even though there's concern in, you know, the communities of color, that there is a complacency and almost a fear that if a person gets out and protests, that perhaps there's going to be something that's going to happen as a consequence to their son and daughter who maybe are enlisted in the military. And so, therefore, the communities don't feel comfortable in coming out and protesting with, like, let's say, you know, a mobilization march like what's taking place tomorrow, because they just don't see that as folks that they can relate to. Mm-hmm. You know, they're saying, these are the malcontents, these are the hippies or whatever. And that in itself creates a problem. I mean, how do we go past that to see that we all have the common bond of ending the war?
I think one of the ways we go past that, if I may just be, again, very blunt, one of the ways we go past that is we begin at a point of honesty with each other. We have to be honest. If, for example, when I was at the demonstration last Saturday in San Francisco, I was elated to see the number of people that turned out. However, I was not at all pleased with relatively speaking, the smaller amount of people of color there, though there were certainly some there and vocal. However, I think we need to start having dialogues. I mean, serious, honest dialogues. We've got to stop shucking and jiving. We've got to stop using terms and definitions that we assume that each other understand. We have to start dialoguing from baseline, bottom line. And I think from there, in honesty, now we're going to have disagreements, but let's disagree with honesty. Let's use discretion. Let's use common sense. You know, we don't disagree in such a fashion that it can be turned against us. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing, just so long as that disagreement does not stop us from taking strong, consistent, effective action. So I think that's one thing we really, really have to do this time around.
But folks are also mentioning that right now there isn't a visible leadership, that there isn't a single figurehead that people are rallying around to lead them in a direction, you know. What about that?
I think in time, the leadership, quote-unquote, will emerge. I think that we should be really paying more attention to our objectives and how we're going to get to those objectives than worrying about any single leader or leaders emerging. They will emerge. It's just no doubt whatsoever, that they will emerge. They will emerge from people of colors, communities, as well as progressive whites. They will emerge. But the fact of the matter is that what we have to be concentrating on is not who the leader is, because we're all leaders in our own capacities. And in a way, that's quite good. Remember that when one has designated leaders, this is a collective struggle. When one has a designated leader, it also becomes, shall I say, easier for that leader to be decapitated, or those leaders to be decapitated. So I don't think it's all negative. I think I even heard you mention that one time, Chewy, on one of the programs you were talking about. I think it's positive. And I simply say again, our leaders will emerge. They will emerge based upon what they're saying and, most importantly, what they're doing.
Great. And we're speaking with Larry Pinkney, who is an international affairs consultant. And Larry, if you can just put on those headphones that are there on the side, we're going to open up the telephones right now to get your comments about organizing within, you know, communities of color and checking out just what is necessary in the long run and even in the long term after this conflict is over. So give us a call right now at 848-4425. We'd like to hear from you in this special edition of War Watch. And let's see if we can go to our first caller here. Hi, you're on the air. Did you have a comment about what we're talking about here with the communities of color and organizing against the war?
Yeah, my name is H, and I'm calling from Berkeley.
Yeah, H.
I'd like to say what the gentleman from, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, gentleman from the Panther Party.
Yeah, Larry Pinkney, and he's formerly with the Black Panther Party.
Mr. Pinkney, I'm very encouraged by what you say about the unity. Unity is certainly our most important thing. If fragmentation is the root of weakness, I am a little bit concerned. However, as I was at school today, I picked up a Uhuru Movement flyer for a demonstration that's taking place on Saturday, and I had always considered myself pretty radical. But I have to say, after reading that flyer, maybe I'm not as radical as I thought. Part of what this flyer kept calling to do is victory for Iraq, victory for Iraq. And I'd like to say that I think there is a great difference between bringing the troops home, between stopping the colonial efforts of America, between I think, of course, it's very important to begin concentrating on the problems we have at home, begin concentrating on the inequality of the peoples and the classes here in the States. I have to say, I am afraid that some of our unity is in danger of being fragmented because certain movements might be calling for, you know, victory for Iraq or supporting the Hussein movement, or furthermore, maybe even supporting the PLO. I am very supportive of the Palestinian people in my heart, and I support the right for all peoples of self-determination. But I believe that we cannot confuse sometimes the leaders with the people. I don't believe Hussein is a valid or righteous leader of the Iraqi people. I don't believe that Yasser Arafat is a valid or righteous leader of the Palestinian people.
Do you think George Bush is a righteous leader of the American people?
Well, certainly not. And you know, we can even classify the three of those people together.
Mm-hmm. Give us a minute. I'd like to hear Larry Pinkney here respond to that, if that's all right with you.
What's your name again?
My name is H.
H, look, you know, I think I hear where you're coming from. And the fact of the matter is that when you're involved, engaged in serious struggle, and that struggle, as I've said before, certainly has to be a collective one. That is to say, we instead of me, it's we. Certainly you're going to have different perspectives. You're going to have people who are going to most vehemently hold to their particular perspective. However, I think what it's very important for us to do, and I say us, all of us in the movement, quote-unquote, is to be as discerning as possible, is to take from whatever the most positive, is to concentrate. And when I say the most positive, this is what I mean. We concentrate on that element or that component of what is being said or done that we find to be effective and useful. That's what we concentrate on. It's that you've heard the old term, accentuating the positive. Well, this is sort of a play on that. What I'm saying is you take from wherever what is positive. I hear where you're coming from. You and I would probably have some disagreements, and I love it. That's great. But it's very important for us. Basically, we agree, right?
I would say certainly so. I mean, we're listening to the same radio station. That's
you
a
betcha.
Step in the right direction.
You betcha. And you see, H, this is something that I go back to what Chewy and I were talking about earlier, and that has to do with the leadership. That's where that leadership will emerge. The people will determine who their leaders will be.
Hey, H, we want to thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to another call here. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Mark from San Francisco. How you doing?
Pretty good, Mark. How you doing?
Hey, I've noticed that we're getting a lot of the same problems in this movement that our predecessors had, 25 years ago in Vietnam.
And what are some of those problems?
Well, it's the white men with the megaphone syndrome, that these people that get microphones in their hands probably have the least to say. Mm-hmm. And control the functioning of the movement and pretty much keep it a white middle-class movement. I mean, most of these people were probably, at home, having children and living up to the American dream over the past decade while we were seeing, the system that we're fighting, in the third world, killing people of color on, every continent. And now that something's happening that's happening in their backyard, they feel empowered to come up and say, I speak the truth for the movement. I know what's going on, so you better listen to me and do it. A case in point was talking about the anarchist participation in some of the first week of demonstrations, mm-hmm. saying that's not what our movement is. That's not what our movement does. Well, I mean, there are many, many modes of struggle. And I think, as a white person, I don't think I know all of them, but I do realize that there are many that I may not agree with. They're going to have to let, play in this game, too.
And you feel that should be respected.
Yeah, I think that in Vietnam, we didn't, who's we first of all, but in Vietnam, it wasn't won. Mm-hmm. If we would have won in Vietnam, we wouldn't be here today, fighting this war. If we would have won in Vietnam, we wouldn't have to deal with, the Chicano moratorium happening again. We wouldn't have to deal with these, issues that won for white people and people in power in the society and pretty much screwed everyone else for the next 25 years. Mm. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time in the ghetto, but from what I've seen, it's a lot worse there now than it was in the 60s.
That's for sure.
Where it's worse.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we need to, work on building a multicultural movement, and that means white men like myself letting other people, do the leadership roles and decide what needs to happen based on their cultural experiences.
Great, Mark. Thanks a lot for your call.
Sure.
What about that, Larry?
Well, I mean, first of all, Mark, thanks a lot for that call. And I want to say that I think the mere fact that you called in and said what you had to say shows that we have made an immense amount of progress from the 60s. Think about it. I mean, I think that movements are dialectical. That is to say, they take time. There's a lot happening. These are protracted struggles. These are not struggles that are going to just happen with victory. The struggle will continue long after Iraq falls, and sooner or later, or whether it falls or not, but sooner or later, this quote-unquote war there will not really be ended. People saying the war is going to end. No, it's going to go into another phase. It doesn't have to be a physical fighting war. So I think that we are making progress. I urge you to continue to work not only on yourself, but work with others, because I think what you're saying is positive, it's needed, it's powerful, and it encourages me.
Great. We're going to take our last phone call here, and we're speaking with Larry Pinkney, who's an international affairs consultant and has taught at the University of Minnesota. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering if you could tell me what role Jesse Jackson is playing in putting an end to the war in Iraq. And do you see him playing any type of major role in coming to a peace settlement within the region? And also, Louis Farrakhan's response to what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
You want to take that on, Larry?
Well, I can take perhaps a part of it on. I think to a very large degree, specifically what role Jesse is going to be playing is going to be determined a lot by the Bush administration. However, on another level, it's also going to be determined by those of us who are out in the streets, who are organizing. It's going to be determined, again, I go back to that same collective phrase, that we-ness, what we do is going to really determine what kind of role people like that can play. And by the way, not just Jesse. I think there are also some other progressive folks out there who need to be playing roles. With respect to Louis Farrakhan, I really don't have any comment because I do not know.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's a whole other factor, too, that Jesse Jackson was involved in having released some of the hostages or guests that Saddam Hussein was holding in Iraq. And then he also is going to be speaking tomorrow at the march that's originating in Washington, D.C. So I'm sure that the positions that you're asking for from Jesse Jackson will be a little bit more clearer after tomorrow. And, Larry, I really want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Julie.
And I wish we had more time, but I'm sure that you'll be in the area for a little bit, and
yeah,
and we'll be able to talk again.
Well, brother, thank you very, very much. I want to thank you, and I want to thank the listeners of KPFA.
Great. And if people want to get hold of you, Larry, is there any place where...
Yes. Just write to me, Larry Pinkney, the Peace with Justice, operative word, with Justice Committee. That's at Post Office Box 14161, Berkeley, California. The zip code is 94701.
And let me give that address again. If you want to contact Larry, it's Larry Pinkney, care of Peace with Justice Committee, P.O. Box 14161, Berkeley, California, 94701. And I'd like to remind you that you're listening to KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley, along with KFCF in Fresno. And it's time now for the news update with Mary Van Clay.
Thank you, Chewy. Air raid sirens have gone off again within the past half hour in Dahran and